chapter 2, verse 16. Shirley, you want to read that? 2:16?
Nevertheless, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus, even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we may be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified.
Very important passage. A man is never justified by the works of the law. Doing will never do it. We need to make sure we fully understand that. Doing is not the issue. Our justification comes through faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, we may be justified by faith in Christ, not by the works of the law. Since by the works of the law shall no flesh be justified. I think that we tie this in with the fact that we've started our whole salvation process by faith and we're going to do our works by faith. Ultimately, our whole justification, everything that we present to God, the whole tamale on at the end is our love offering to Him. The only justification that there will be for that was that it was done in faith. There's no justification in doing. Now you look at the cults. Look at Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and other people. Heavy into doing. Never from a position of faith. Satan loves it. Really believing that they're being justified by their works. Can't be justified by their works, but they don't know that because they're deceived. Christ wants His children, true children by faith, to start the relationship in faith, continue it in faith for the whole way through so that everything that we do is justified. And to restate it one more time because it's important, Satan will attack your faith more than he attacks your good doing. We need to practice our faith. Okay. The first aspect of abiding in, how do we abide in Christ? We do it by abiding in faith. That's the foundation for the abiding life is faith. Now we can get into the second aspect of that. I really believe the thing that's the most important for us after we've gone through the process of faithing, practicing our faith, is our thought life. Okay? If we're going to abide in Christ, our thought life is going to be, I think, the most second most important function. And I want you to open your Bibles again to Romans 12, 1 and 2. We've gone over that a couple of times, but we'll look at that. Paul is writing and he says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. That's one of those verses that you could write a 20-page paper on. You could take verse 2 and sit down and write half a master's thesis just on that verse. It's full of that much power. Paul is telling us that we're not to be conformed to the world, but we're to be transformed. And his way of seeing us being transformed is by the renewing of the mind. Starts with the mind. And as we're renewed in the mind, we prove what the will of God is. That which is good and acceptable and perfect. And you oftentimes have people say, what's God's will for my life? And when we ask ourselves, what's God's will for my life? We're always thinking about the works. Where am I supposed to go work? Where am I supposed to go live? Where am I supposed to go to school? Who am I supposed to marry? What's God's will for my life? What God's will for my life is that I be renewed in my mind. And as I'm renewed in my mind, the rest of this stuff is made clear. See how Satan can pervert that? Constantly trying to figure out the doing part before we've got the being part figured out. If you have a renewed mind, you'll automatically know what the perfect will of God is. Okay? You see the importance for that? We have to have a renewed mind. The thought life is really critical. So we can say, okay, Lord, I accept that. My thoughts are important. I want to take my thoughts captive. My thoughts will affect my emotions and my behavior. So what on earth am I supposed to be thinking if I'm going to abide in Christ? And we find that in Philippians 4:8. This is also one of those memory verse type of verses. These are the kind of things you really need to have in your computer. Philippians 4:8, and I'll read it to you. Finally, brethren, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is good repute, if there's any excellence, and if anything is worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. What a list. We'll go over them again. Paul is telling the church of Philippi that they need to be thinking about those things which are true. Obviously, Jesus Christ is true. His word is true. But just having a hunger for truth, you know, we really don't have a hunger for truth. We really are into gossiping, and we're really into innuendos, and we're really into a deception. We need to have a real hunger for what truth is. And that thing which is honorable, having a sense of honor to it. Whatever's right, having a real attitude about justice. Not quickly running into opinions. Give an example. They have a big riot in Orange County Jail, and they have some inmates hurt, and they get some guards stabbed, and suddenly the big issue becomes, you know, who's at fault, you know, and the ACLU is saying, you know, obviously the guards are at fault and the conditions are horrible, and the sheriff is saying, no, that's not true, we're treating the guys good, but these are hardcore criminals and they're just planning this whole thing. And anytime we're just in that one situation, we need to be asking ourselves in our heart, well, what's right and true in this situation? We care about opinions. What's really going on? And if you start thinking about what's really going on, it takes a little bit longer to figure that out, and we're not quite so opinionated all the time. You show me somebody who's really concerned about truth, and I'll show you somebody who keeps their mouth quiet most of the time. And they really have very few opinions because they haven't been able to figure out what truth is in most situations. They haven't wrestled it through, so they kind of withhold their opinions. And are trying to figure out, they're trying to sort the facts and come to a proper understanding of things. We're supposed to concentrate on that which is pure. We already know that we have indwelling sin in us, Romans 7, so we have a proclivity to have impure thoughts come to our mind. That comes from our own condition of flesh, but that also comes from the enemy. So the Bible is telling us here that we're to be concentrating on that which is pure. And all we have to do when the thought comes in to our mind is simply ask ourselves, is this thought pure? And if it's not, then I'm not supposed to be dwelling on it. It's not of God. Whatever is lovely. But we really know when we're dwelling on things that aren't lovely, has that harshness to it. We're thinking critical thoughts. We're being very critical. Having a harshness to us, that's just not lovely. Whatever's of good repute, what has a good reputation, those things that are of excellence and worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. can't remember which epistle it is, and but Paul makes the statement that he takes every thought captive. And that means to me that he is thinking about what he's thinking about. Psychologists call that metacommunication. Thinking about what you're thinking about. Knowing what you're thinking. Psychologists say that we have a problem, and it's called a stream of consciousness, where we just have a flood of thoughts going by like an ocean, like a stream, constantly. And most of the time we don't stand guard over our thoughts, so thoughts are having a great influence on us. We need to be thinking about what we're thinking about. Now, if you want a homework assignment, just start thinking about what you're thinking about. Boy, that's a hard one. And yet, if you don't do that, it's kind of like having cockroaches in your house, and if you just don't get out the old roach motels and take care of them things, they're just going to take over after a while. And the thoughts will get you after a while if you're not standing guard over them. They really will. I remember going to visit a woman in her 80s at a convalescent hospital. And I can remember sitting down with her in her wheelchair and asking her how she was doing. And I can remember her starting and saying, you know, that first husband of mine was a rascal. And I'm telling you, in 1934, that guy, you know, he pulled some shenanigan, was selling the house, and off she'd go. Well, I know what's been happening, you know, for the last 50 years. I know what she's been dwelling on. This rascal has done something to her back in 1934. And she's never stood guard over her thoughts. So the thoughts come and she dwells on them. And over a period of lifetime, she's been conformed to those thoughts. That really convicts me, because I can sit back and say, okay, I'm in my 30s and I got some thoughts going that if I don't curb and hang, you know, and really have control over, in the next 30 or 40 years, they could really, in a very serious way, conform my life to something that I don't want to conform to. So that kind of scares me and makes me alarmed. We have to really take our thoughts captive. We've got to think about what we think about. And that's hard work, and it's got to be done. And what are we supposed to think about? We're supposed to be thinking about all of these things that the Apostle Paul says we're supposed to be thinking about. And if you'll memorize this verse, you can use it to be the checkpoint for your thoughts. As a thought comes in, and you're just starting that process where you're starting to really capture them, here it comes, and you can ask yourself, is this thought pure? Nope. Okay, kick it out. You start dwelling on a negative thought about somebody, is this thought honorable, worthy of praise? No. Just start that mental process where we have that checking, that standard that we can check it against. In a sense, resisting the devil, he'll flee from you. That can even take place in that thought that he plants, and we can say, I reject that. You know, reproving in the Bible, it's just the same thing. It just means like a plumb bob. And if Wally and I were going to go out and do a concrete wall today, we're trying to get that thing straight. We have a little plumb bob, just a string with something tied on the end of it. We hold it down. That shows us, that's our standard to know whether we got our bricks being laid properly. We need to have a standard to work as a plumb bob for our thoughts. And Philippians 4:8 becomes the plumb bob. And we can just ask ourselves constantly, is this where it's at? And we really don't have much alternative with that, because if we're not standing guard over our thoughts, then our thoughts will be conforming us. We will not be renewed in our mind. We will not then ever know the real, perfect will of God. So that's why that's critical to me. That's why I think starting in faith is, you know, the foundation. Everything's got to be done in faith, but then we start right with our faith life, I mean our thought life, and start figuring it out. Father, we love you. We praise you. We adore you. We thank you for your word, which is true. Father, help us be doers and not just hearers of the word. Help us not get tied up in application to our own life, Father. You challenged us tonight, Father. We've got Psalms 1 and John 15. We've got some principles already that you're asking us to do. Father, help us do those things. Help us abide in Christ this week. Father, I pray that everybody in this class would start abiding better than they ever have before, Father, more closer to the Lord Jesus Christ, letting Him live His life through them by faith. Father, I would ask that we'd see fruit at the end of this week as we abide better. The next week we could even start class by sharing some fruit that God has bore through us as we simply abided in Jesus Christ. Father, these are hard principles to teach. These are you worked on them for 3 years and we've only got 6 weeks. They're hard, Father. I'm going to ask that you would just accelerate the process in us, that just the bells would be ringing as truth is revealed. That we get blessed, Father. Be with this class through the week. Give them safe travel and bless them in all of their endeavors. Bring them back safe next week. In Jesus' name, amen.
This concludes lesson number 4.